I couldn't be more excited about this year, and as we continue in our pursuit for God, I really believe that God is wanting to take us to a whole new place. This past Wednesday was an incredible time. It was our Surge 21. It was a time of coming together to celebrate a time of prayer and fasting that we had been going through together as a church, and I didn't know what to expect. I know the 3 weeks of regular Liberty Life prayer services had been really, really good, but I had no idea of what to expect Wednesday night. But can I tell you that almost this whole front section was filled, and going back maybe 3-5 rows back there, and the energy upon which people came after work at the end of the day, came into this place hungry to pursue God, to worship God, the prayer, the word, that it was just an awesome Wednesday night, and I'm so grateful for what God did. And you know what I'm praying for? I'm praying that every single weekend that you and I might come with just that kind of hunger in our hearts, just pursuing God, believing that every time we turn to God's word or walk in that door or go to fellowship with another brother and sister, that God's going to just encourage us in a mighty way. Amen? I believe that. Listen, God wants all of us to be healthy. He wants us to be physically healthy. He wants us to be mentally, emotionally healthy. And he certainly wants us to be spiritually healthy. How many would agree with that? He wants us to be healthy in all of those things. Because when we're healthy, we can focus on the things that God would be wanting to do in and through our lives. When we're not healthy in any way in our life, we're distracted. We're worried about those things, our health or our minds or whatever it might be. But when we're healthy, we can be fully available to God. Last year, we kicked off this theme, and it was called Rooted, Grow Deep, Reach Wide. And this year, we're continuing with that theme. We believe that God is continuing to help us to grow deeper as a church, rooting ourselves in the Word of God, in the fellowship of the brothers and sisters, and in the plans and the purposes that He has for us. And we kind of focused on three areas last year. We focused on Liberty Life, which is kind of in the middle. It's these classes. Eventually, we would like to see our classes also move online. Right now, it's Wednesday night. And I know it's a struggle. I know it's a stretch for some of you, but I want to encourage you as your pastor to try to make an effort to get involved in discipleship and to learn God's word in a broader and deeper way. They used to have Sunday school on Sundays. A lot of churches, including ours, because of whatever circumstances, we don't offer that. But Wednesday night is like our Sunday school, and we want you to come out and grow deeper with us. When we grow deep in the things of God, whether it's Liberty Life, or we initiated Grow Track last year, and it's been going wonderful. People downstairs during the 9 a.m. Service every single weekend, learning more about the church, what we believe, what their spiritual gifts and talents are, and how they can get better connected with the church. Last weekend, we had 20 people down in the room, which was our largest group yet, and I'm just excited. What's that? And the same this morning. So praise God, just thrilled. And then in February, we kicked off our Connect groups, and we have 7 Connect groups are going strong. We're getting ready here in the near future to launch 2 or 3 more. We're super excited about what God is doing with our 3 main root systems. And this year, we're going to continue to grow deep together. Amen? Amen? How many of you want to be rooted in Christ so that God can have his full way in your life? Can I get an amen? See a hand. I do. And so we want to continue to grow deep in the things that God is doing in our lives so that we can reach wide. And that reach wide can be a lot of different things. It can be the obvious to me. The obvious would be outreach, the ways that you and I personally or together as a church, how we can reach out to our communities, take the gospel message, the message of hope to the world around us. But it also means this reach wide. It also means that God wants to take his plans and his purposes for your individual life. And he wants you to soar. He wants you to fly. It may not always be easy. He'll give you the strength, the power. He'll mold you. He'll shape you. He'll equip you, but he wants you to experience the reason why he birthed you into this world. And it's for his glory. It's for your benefit. It's for the benefit of others. Because when we're walking in tune with the plans of God, it always will point people to him. Amen? And so we want to continue being rooted in the things of God so that we can grow deep, so that we can reach wide. And the add-on theme for this year is we are going to go together to the next level. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would just put on our hearts, God, to not be satisfied with where we are currently. God, we may be content. Good things may be going on. But God, I know that you're wanting to continue us to continue to progress forward. You have things in store for us individually, for our families, for our church, Lord God, that are beyond our dreams, beyond our imaginations. And God, it's all for your glory and all to help lead people to you. For whatever reason, God, you choose to work through your people to carry out your plans. And God, I'm excited about what you're going to continue doing in our lives as we continue to surrender and yield ourselves to you in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, this year, God's calling every single one of us to the next level. Now, that might be that he's calling us to the next level of prayer. That might be that he's calling us to a new level of Bible study. This might be that he wants to take you to the next level of developing your character. How many know that you can pray, you can read your Bible, you can come to church, but if your character's messed up, it's going to be a difficult road. Amen? We pray, we read the Bible so that God and his Holy Spirit can take those things and mold and shape our character. Maybe God's wanting to take you, husband and wife, to the next level in your marriage. How many of you married people would like to go to the next level in your marriage? Come on, I do. And maybe you're a parent in the room today. God, maybe this year is the year he's wanting to take you to the next level in your parenting. 2020, I believe, is going to be a year. I've been praying for this, and I'm declaring it by faith this morning that 2020 will be the year that God takes you and this church to the next level in what he's wanting to do. The Bible is full of stories of men and women who have been called by God for specific purposes. These people were positioned by God to be at the right place, at the right time, and to be about God's business. That's what they were doing. God uses willing people to carry out his plans and purposes. Say willing. Now put an I in front of it. Say I am. Let's add M. I am willing. Say that. God uses willing people to carry out his plans and purposes. Listen, check this out. Just like the people that we read about in the Bible, if you go to Hebrews, if you were to go to Hebrews chapter 11, you can write that down and go later. You'll read about many of the men and women throughout the history of the Bible world that we read about from Genesis to Revelation that God used in very specific, particular ways for his purposes. And guess what? God has is wanting to position each and every one of us in this room for his specific purposes. They were no better or less than you and I. We are equal on an equal plane with all of them. Why? Because the Bible says God is no respecter of person. Your purpose, your reason why you were born, the reason why God gave you breath is so that he can work in and through your life in some very special and specific ways. How he works in my life will be different than how he works in your life. Then there are some things that we all share the load together, but one way or the other, I believe in 2020 that God is going to position those who will allow him to. He's going to position us in such a way that we can really make a difference for the kingdom of God, and we're going to experience together. God is very intentional about every detail of your life. He's very intentional about your he was very intentional about your entrance into the world, and he'll be very intentional about your exit. When you were born, he was intentional. To whom you were born, intentional. Where in the world you were born, intentional. The color of your skin, intentional. Your gifts, your talents, intentional. All of these things God prepared for you as to be a part of your life and to fit into his plans and purposes. Now let me say this, that if you are not a believer this morning, if you do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then those plans and purposes upon which you were really born into the world to carry out, they're dormant in your life. They're dormant in your life. It doesn't mean that you're not doing some great things in the world. It doesn't mean that maybe you're not successful at your job. Why? Because God gave you physical abilities, a mind, intellect, and all those things. And if you use them, they work, okay? So you might be really successful at work. But if you don't have a relationship with Christ, I promise you, you're not walking out his plans and purposes for your life. You see, when we come to the cross of Jesus Christ, we celebrated it in communion today, and we celebrated that Jesus, he took our place on the cross. He paid the penalty for our sin. He shed his blood on our behalf, and then God raised him up from the dead, proving who he said he was and bringing glory to God and victory over death and hell. When we come to that place of surrender to the cross and we give our lives to Jesus, we confess him with our mouth, we believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, then we are saved. And when we're saved, God's plans and purposes are initiated in our lives. That's the point of initiation. If you want to experience God's plan and God's purpose for your life, then come to the cross. Give your life to Jesus Christ. And at that moment, you will be given new life, a new birth. The old will pass away. All will become new. And God can begin to move in your life. Is that not even an exciting thing? To me, that's an exciting thing. Let's go to the Word of God. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham was called by God to go to an unfamiliar place. An unfamiliar place. Abraham's call began with God speaking to him. Now, we don't know exactly how God spoke to him. We don't know if it was a burning bush or a pillar of fire or a still small whisper. We don't know. But one thing that's very clear from reading the story of Abraham is that God spoke to Abraham. And we know that God began to unfold his will for Abraham's life. He told him to leave his country. He told him, asked him to leave his people. He asked him to leave his father's household. Like Abraham, I believe that God has a very special plan for your life. He wants to know that you will follow him like Abraham did. He wants to know that. There are things that he wants you to do. There are places that he wants you to go. There are people he wants you to meet. And all we have to do is say yes when he begins to direct our steps. When does he begin to direct our steps? At the cross. When we give our life to Jesus Christ, he initiates his plan over our lives. I believe that just like Abraham, God wants to take you to some unfamiliar places. Now, that's uncomfortable for some people because we don't like unfamiliar. We like things that are familiar. We like things that are constant, consistent, things that won't throw us off balance. But I can assure you this, that God works the same in all of our lives. And as God begins to move in your heart and move in your life in the ways that he has planned for you, he will call you to go to some unfamiliar places. And the reason for this is because it's how you grow your faith. If you're always comfortable, if you're always standing in the same place, doing the same thing, you're not really having to exercise your faith, are you? You're just doing what you always know. But God's wanting to call you to the unfamiliar because he's wanting your faith to grow. He's wanting your faith to get stronger, because when your faith becomes strong, you can speak to the mountain and tell it to move, cast it into the sea, and it will go. Amen? So we want a strong faith. How do we gain strength with our faith? We go to the uncomfortable places. It's how he takes us to the next level. Now, if you were here last week, you heard my story about Planet Fitness, and I told you last week about some of the benefits that I get really excited about in being a member at Planet Fitness. As a matter of fact, I sat in the massage chair yesterday right after my workout. I sat there, and I closed my eyes, and I took a little nap, and it felt good. This was fun, too. It's kind of great being able to share like some of the things you like, because when I came into the office on Wednesday, I didn't make it to the gym yet. When I came into the office on Wednesday, guess what? There was a big pile of Tootsie Rolls on my desk. So I didn't need to go to the gym that day. The benefits came to me. That was pretty cool. But listen, when people work out, the point of the working out is to challenge your body. It's to push the body to a place that it's never been before. And it requires hard work. It requires sweat. It requires that sometimes you're willing to fail. I can remember, especially in my earlier years where I really tried to push the weight. I don't really need spotters anymore because in my age, that's just not where I'm at. But when I was younger, I just like all my buddies, we were trying to see who could bench the most, who could squat the most. And we would often have a squatter alongside of us so that if we were pushing weight that was overpowering to us at the moment, a spotter could come along and slowly help you raise the weight because you weren't ready for it yet. But that was a necessary part of lifting weights. You had to put weight on that you couldn't do. If you were always lifting the same weight, if I put 25 pounds on each side of the bar and I was lifting that week after week after week when I was 20 years old, and I'm at the gym at the age of 35 and I'm still lifting the same amount of weight, I'm not getting stronger. I'm maintaining status quo. Yes, maybe my physique still might look okay and all that kind of stuff, but I'm not going to places where I could be going if I would be willing to push my body just a little bit. Amen? So to get stronger and to get more healthy, you have to challenge yourself. You have to challenge your muscles. You have to challenge your body. You have to challenge your spirit. You have to challenge your mind. You have to let God take you to some unfamiliar places where you've not been before. You have to be willing to do some things that you've not done before. Why? Because it's how you get stronger in your faith. It's how God grows you. To grow stronger, we have to increase the weight. To grow stronger, we have to increase the intensity. To grow stronger, we have to eat the right things if we want to be fully healthy. To be healthy and to get stronger, we have to stop doing certain things that aren't healthy for us. And we have to make sure that we focus in on doing the things that are consistent or that is good for us. And it's the same way with spiritual growth. It's a daily workout in the Word of God. It's a daily workout in prayer. It's a daily workout in the fellowship, in the giving, in the serving. It's a daily workout that when we're willing to go to these places, He strengthens our spirit. He strengthens our mind. And we don't even realize it, but we begin walking in the plans and the purposes that He has for us. You don't have to sit there and try to figure it out. If you're doing the right things, if you're allowing God to put you in these unfamiliar places, it won't be long and you'll just find yourself in the midst of His plan for your life, doing the things that He dreamed of you doing when He knit you together in your mother's womb and formed you in your mother's belly. It's a pretty cool thing, isn't it? But we have to be willing to go and do the unfamiliar, to do the work, to take the risk, and to do the right things. Now, to go to the next level, you have to be willing to go to the unfamiliar place. That could mean getting up early to pray. That could mean committing to a study of God's Word every day. That could mean for you, because we're all at a certain place today. We're not all at the same place. Would you agree? We're all at a certain place today, but we're not all at the same place today. So a deeper study in God's Word for some might be to read a scripture a day all week long every day and to just kind of meditate on that scripture. And you're going to get stronger by doing that. Why? Because you're not doing it consistently right now. Are you following me? For others, it might mean you need to go into a chapter study or a book study, or you need to get involved in a class or take an online course, because we're all at different places. If you want to grow, if you want to go to the next level, you got to take the next step and you got to do something different than what you've always done. Amen? To go to the next level, it's important that we understand a few really key things about God's call. This is really important. We're all called, and there's two facets to this call of God upon our life. First, there's the general call. The general call goes out to all believers. It puts us all on the same page. As a child of God who has come through the cross, through Jesus Christ, into a relationship with God the Father, His Holy Spirit's living inside of us, this general call belongs to us all. It's no different for me than it is for Dave or for any other person in this room. God has called all of us to be a witness for Him, a witness of what has happened inside of our lives, and to share our testimony with the world around us. God has called all of us to make disciples. He's called all of us to read His Word, all of us to obey Him, all of us to pray, all of us to give, all of us to serve, all of us to love. And we could add to that list. There are things in the Word of God that God has called all of us to do like. You following me? Amen. It's called the general call for believers. Second, there's a specific call. There's a specific call of God on everyone's life. And unlike the general call, Dave's calling by God is different than Tim's calling by God. They're different. And we witness an example of the specific call of God here in the story of Abraham. God asked Abraham to leave his home, to leave his family, to move his livelihood, and to become a blessing to the world. That's what God specifically asked Abraham. Now, he might ask you to do one of those things. He might ask you to do all of those things. He might ask you to do none of those things and give you a whole completely different list. Why? Because God has a specific plan for your life. He's got a general call for us all, and he's got a specific call for each and every one of you, and he wants to make it available. He wants you to discover it. He wants you to know it. The easiest way is by doing the general call, walking firmly, established in the general call of God, doing the things that you ought to be doing. If you're doing that, like I said earlier, you'll soon find yourself naturally walking in the things of God. Some of it he'll tell you, some of you he'll show you, and some of it you'll just begin to naturally do because you're in alignment with God because you're doing all the right things. But we must be willing to do the unfamiliar, because I guarantee you right now that none of us have experienced the fullness of God's plan or purposes for our lives. I don't care how many sermons you have preached. I don't know how far you've advanced in your career, and maybe you've won a lot of people, led a lot of people to the Lord through your career field. It doesn't matter. Wherever you're at today, God has another level for us. I'll tell you when God's done taking us to the next level. It's when we take our last breath. That's when we're done going to the next level. It doesn't matter your age, whether you're a teenager or a child or 25. Yes, there are some differences. Or 85. Listen, God's never done with us until he's done with us. And when he's done with us, we're home with him. Amen? Amen. The specific call deals with things like, what should I do with my life? Who should I marry? Where should I live? What career field or ministry am I to be a part of? Should I make a move? Should I live here? What church should I go to and get involved in and serve in? Where is God going to take me next? These are all a part of God's specific call for our lives. Liberty Church, for the last 2 years, since Tina and I have been here, I believe that God has been strengthening those calls on our lives. When I look back, I wouldn't be absurd enough to think that all of this is beginning at the point that Tina and I came on the scene. It all began for most of us in this room when we were a child at another church. Maybe we were even living in another country at the time. And for all these years, God has been positioning you and repositioning you as we allow him to. Sometimes we get off course. Sometimes we take a detour. But I believe by faith that for the last 2 years, since God has brought all of us together, that he's moving us in a certain direction. He's doing a certain thing on the inside of us. For some is going faster than for others. But he's getting us all prepared for what he's getting ready to do in and through our church and our individual lives. I believe that. My prayer is that you believe that, because it's fun to serve God. Maybe you're a highway state trooper. It's fun to serve God as a highway state trooper. Maybe you're a lawyer. Guess what? It's so much fun to serve God as a lawyer. You know, whatever you do, when we're walking in his plans and purposes, it's fun. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean everything goes right. Doesn't it mean that we don't experience the same heartaches that a lot of other people in the world does? But like you have heard me say many, many times, when we're walking with God, those times get much easier. And at the very least, if all we have in those times is a peace in our heart and mind, it's worth it, because most of the world does not know that peace. But you and I can know that peace, amen? And it strengthens our soul. Thank you, Jesus. I believe he's been bringing clarity to our specific call and our general call. In letting God take us to the next level, it's important that we understand those two things. Now, God called Abraham to walk away from everything that he was familiar with. God wanted Abraham to go to the next level and to be exceptionally outstanding at the things he was going to ask him to do. How many of you in this room today would raise your hand with me and say, hey, I want to be exceptionally outstanding in all that God is wanting me to do? Can I see a hand today? I want to be exceptionally outstanding. Abraham was told by God to leave his country. That represented his security. He was told by God to leave his family, which correlates with his familiarity and all the things that he knew. God asked him to leave his father's house, which is tied into the influence that was in his life. Liberty Church, like Abraham, God is wanting to take you and he's wanting to take us to that next level. And we may have to walk away from some security. We may have to walk away from some things that we're very familiar with. We may have to walk away from some influences so that we can come into some new influences. Amen? It will look different for all of us. Tim and Tina Moen, we were called to pastor Liberty Church. But God has not called all of you to pastor Liberty Church. It's our specific call for this specific season. But you can be assured this morning that God has a specific call for your life. Some of you are walking in that specific call, and some of you aren't. But either way, God's wanting to take you to the next level. Now, here are four next level principles that I want to present to you today. Next level challenge number one is trust. Say trust. At the heart of every relationship is trust. If Tina and I did not have trust, then it would be hard to have a stable marriage. And many of us, we get that. We understand that. Trust is the essential building block to any relationship. And if we're going to go to the next level, if we're going to be able to walk in obedience when God asks us to do something, then we have to be able to move to a place of fully trusting God without reservations. Without reservations. We have to fully trust God. If I were to walk up to this platform and say, Pastor Rick, catch me, and just fall backwards, it would show my level of faith. Pastor Rick, I'm not going to do that. Pastor Rick, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to do that, all right? But we have to get to a place in God that if he says jump, we jump. If he says move, we move. Whatever he says, we say yes. Now listen, this word is our protection. Because God will never ask us to do anything that's not in alignment with this book, all right? So whenever God asks us to move or whatever, if we know the book, then we will know if God is indeed moving or not. Question about trust. First of all, I think you guys know I love you. You know I love you? Do you? Okay. I do my best to present the word of God in a very honest and real way every week. And I've said this a couple times last November as we dealt with some hard things. I'm going to say, I've got something I want to present to you because it concerns trust this morning that I believe God is wanting to deal with in a lot of our lives. And here's the question is, why do many people in the church call themselves believers? If you were to ask them if they trust God, they would say yes without hesitation. But they don't tithe. They don't give 10% of their income. We read about it in the Word of God in one place. We can read about it in other various places. It's a basic elementary part of the faith, trusting God with our finances and giving him the first 10%. Yet many people, 99% of the people statistically in our churches today around the world do not tithe. The national statistic is less than 1% of parishioners tithe on a consistent basis. But yet they would say that they trust God. I struggle with that. I don't understand that, because either we trust God or we don't trust God. And if we can trust him with one thing, why can't we trust him with everything? It's a fair question. And as I contemplated here this on just a little bit, there's three things that I came to as to why someone in the church who calls themselves a believer would not trust God enough to tithe. And the first thing I came to is that they're ignorant of God's word. They don't know what God teaches about giving and about the tithe. So that's possibly one reason. Another reason is that they're just choosing to be rebellious against God. God's telling them, they know what God is telling them to do, But this person, they're saying, yep, yep, I'll go to prayer meeting. They're saying, yep, 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 I'll serve on First Impressions. Yep, yep, yeah, I'll go to the help feed the poor. But then over here, God says, I want you to tithe. And I say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. God says, no, this is a principle. I want you to tithe, and I want you to trust me. But we choose, no, God, I'm not going to do that. By not tithing, I know that's not what you're thinking you're doing, but that's what we're doing. We're saying to God, I don't trust you. Your word says to give 10%, but I'm not going to do that. And the only reason I can think of is either you're ignorant of what God's word says, or you don't trust him. And then there's, you're being rebellious. The third one is trust. You don't trust him. It's one of those three things. If we trust God, we would do our best to follow him. We would do our best to follow him. Now listen, the Bible, there's a theological word called sanctification. And there's two pieces to sanctification. There's initial sanctification that happens when we come to Jesus on the cross, which means immediately we take on the righteousness of God. When we give our lives to Christ, we immediately become holy because Christ makes us holy. But that doesn't, and we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things pass away, all things become new. That's initial sanctification. But we soon find out that we begin to trip up and to stumble in some of the other old ways that we were living before we came to Christ. And so there's a work called ongoing sanctification, and that is as we do the things we're supposed to do in God's word, as we read, as we pray, as we discover, it's a lifelong process of God molding us and shaping us and helping us become more like him. It doesn't all happen at one time. Spiritually, it happens right away, but physically, we have to catch up with what God did inside of us spiritually. Does that make sense? So it's a lifelong process. So listen, tithing's no different. What I'm about to say, you will not find in the word. But sometimes there's a process we need to go on. Maybe it's hard to go from 0 to 10%. I know I've been tithing since I was 16 years old, and I've never intentionally ever missed tithing 10% of my income. And I know sometimes that can be in the natural easier because I'm just always been accustomed to that. Where someone who midlife is challenged to start tithing, I can see why that would be hard because they've already got all their money budgeted out. How am I going to do this? Listen, I don't know how you're going to do it, but God says do it and test me and see if I don't provide and bless more abundantly. That's what his word says. So the only way to discover if God is telling the truth is to test it out, all right? Test it out and see. I was with a gentleman from our church this week who came to faith in the Lord later on in life because of his wife. And he struggled with this whole tithing thing. And one time his wife came to him and said, hey, I think we need to start tithing. And he'd never done it before, never done it before. And he's looking over the numbers. He's like, I don't know how we're going to do this. But there came a time, a message, a sermon, or maybe it was his own personal prayer time where God spoke to him and said his name and said, I want you to trust me. And so he began giving small amounts as a tithe consistently to God. And he just kept seeing the increase in his life. He wasn't missing it, and he was seeing God's faithfulness. And he worked his way up to the 10%. And for years now, he's been giving the full 10% of his income. And I'm just telling you, he would tell you how blessed his life is. I am not giving you my opinion. I am not giving you my theology. I'm simply trying to communicate one of God's principles. But it really reveals to us, I believe, where we're at with trusting God. So I'm going to leave it there with you today, and we're going to move on. Next level challenge number two. Well, let me close with the scripture. Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. Next level challenge number two is agreement. Say agreement. If we're to go to the next level, we must learn to be in agreement with what God is wanting to do in our lives. Genesis 12:6 says, Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. Now in the text, Abraham comes to this place called Shechem. I like saying that word. I think it's fun. Shechem. Say it with me. Shechem. It's just fun to say. Shechem. Some theologians call this the place of agreement. And the reason they call it the place of agreement is because it's the first place in the promised land that Abraham and his family come upon because of their obedience to leave everything and to follow God. And since Abraham was in agreement with God and doing what he had asked, in his obedience, he just received the promise that God had promised to him. When we obey God, we will experience his promises, always. So this place of agreement was a place of very much significance for Abraham in his relationship with God. Now, agreement means a mutual understanding. It means to be of the same mind, and it means to be in harmony. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" See, Abraham was in agreement with God, or he would have never gone on the journey with God to an unfamiliar place. But because he was in agreement with God, he chose to go. And because he chose to go, he received the promise. Amen. Ephesians 2:12 through 13 says, "Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ." So in Christ, because of what he did for us on the cross, we are now in agreement. For those of us who believe, we are now in agreement with God. We believe, we obey, we receive. See, our faith is not a formula, but if we had one, that'd be it right there. We believe, we obey, we receive. We believe, we obey, we receive. That's the formula, folks. So after a brief time in Egypt, during this time, Genesis 12:20, there was a famine. Abraham and his family returned to Canaan. Abraham and Lot, their servants, begin having a disagreement over where to graze their livestock. And Lot was Abraham's nephew, and he was Haran and Abraham were brothers. Haran's son was Lot. And so they were all together. They all went on this journey together, but the servants began having these disagreements. So Lot and Abraham had a conversation, and they agreed to disagree and to go their own way. And Abraham, being Uncle Abraham, the more mature one, gave Lot the choice of where he wanted to go to graze his livestock, and he picked a place that was near Sodom and Gomorrah. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 13. And Abraham chose Hebron. Now, we know that Lot's choice will go on to have proved a foolish choice, for we will go on to learn, not today, but if you read the story, you go on to learn that Sodom and Gomorrah was a very wicked place, and because of that, it impacted. It had a very drastic impact on Lot and his whole family. See, the grass is always greener near Sodom and Gomorrah, but it's not always better. Amen? Next level challenge number 3 is separation. If we want to go to the next level, we must separate ourselves from things and people who may hinder the process. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, "Therefore go out from their midst and be separate from among them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you." Isaiah 57:13 says, "But he who takes refuge in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And it shall be said, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstruction from the people's way. For thus saith the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." If we want to go to the next level, we have to be willing to separate ourselves from some things or situations that may hinder our lives. And next level number 4, or challenge number 4, is relationship. This is what it's all about right here. And if we're ever going to go to the next level, we have to develop and cultivate and surrender to an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Genesis 12:18, "So Abraham moved his tent and came and settled by the oaks of Mamre, which was in Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord." This word Hebron means joined together, alliance, and association. But if you keep digging into that definition, you'll come to this word, and the word is friendship. Friendship. John 15:15 says, Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. And all that I have heard from my Father, I have shared with you." He called us friends. Israel Houghton, maybe you've, or Houghton, however you say it. He's a Christian musician, gospel musician. He wrote a song several years ago that churches have sung all over the world. I know you've heard it. And the words go like this. It says, "Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing." If you know the chorus, sing it with me. "I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend." That's a pretty special thing, would you not agree? That the God who created the entire universe, he has a specific plan for all of our lives. And in the midst of it all, he looks down upon us and he calls us a friend. Friendship is a close association that entails care, respect, admiration, concern, love. And at the foundation of it all, we end up back where we started. Trust. Trust. Tina and I, we've always done our very best to trust God and to follow God. We were both called by God at a younger age into ministry, and we've always done our very best to trust God and to follow wherever he would lead us. And whenever he would ask us to do something, we would always do our very best to say yes. And it all started back in 1993. We got married. She said yes to me, and I said yes to her. Praise God. Woo! Best decision of my life outside of salvation. But right after I graduated from college, 1994, our pastor asked us to come on staff at our church, church of about 1,800. And I remember being at the altar. He had called me up after service. He said, "Hey, Tim, I want to talk to you." And he took me over to the altar area. Everybody was fellowship singing, doing whatever. And he began asking me a series of questions. And it all came down to this. He said, "Hey," he said, "what would you think about doing children's ministry?" And I said, "Oh, I don't feel called to children's ministry. I feel called to youth ministry." And he goes, "No, I know you feel called to youth ministry, but that's not what I asked you." He said, "How would you feel about children's ministry?" And we went on to have a conversation, and he said, "I want you to pray about it." And so I prayed about it, and for 4.5 years, Tina and I served as children's pastors at this church. We had a children's ministry of about 250 kids, a bus ministry. I mean, I knew nothing about children's ministry, but God surrounded me with great people, a great team, and together, 4.5 years, we served God as children pastors. In 1995, Tina and I were visiting family out in Philadelphia, and while I was there, I felt God put the East Coast on my heart. I began feeling a burden for the East Coast, and on our way home, I began to share that with Tina, and she just kind of looked at me with a blank stare in her eyes. She goes, "I felt like God's put the same thing in my heart." It was a confirmation that God was working in us. In 1999, I felt led by the Holy Spirit to take my resume, the only resume I've ever handed out myself in my life, and I took it to our district office, and I handed it to our DYD, and I said, "Hey, I don't know what you want to do with this, but my wife and I, we feel called to the East Coast, and I just feel like I'm supposed to drop this off," and we left it there. 2-3 weeks later, I get a call from a pastor, George Cope, at Bethany Assembly of God, and we begin an interview process. And just a little over 2 months from me turning in by faith that resume, Tina and I were packing up our car, our 5-month-old son, our 2-year-old daughter, and moving 1,400 miles across the country to an unfamiliar place. We served there for 4.5 years when Otis Stanley, our then superintendent, called me and said, "Tim, did you hear that our district youth director just resigned?" And I said, "No." And I said, "Oh my goodness." And he said, "Well, I'm calling you because I'd like you and Tina and your name to be one of the names of consideration. And will you pray about that?" So we did. We would go on to serve as district youth director and then men director for 10 years. Towards the end, and that was an unfamiliar place. I never dreamed or thought I would ever do that. In my 9th year, God began doing some things in my heart and life, and it just was becoming very obvious that transition was coming, and I was approached about taking the general manager role at a Christian radio station. I knew nothing about radio, folks, nothing about radio, nothing, but God made it really clear that this was a direction he was taking me, and so here's the story. They initially told me they were only going to be able to pay me half of the salary I was making, and that's it. but they would give me freedom because I had a business that I had just started. They would give me freedom to like do my business. So I'm like, oh, wow. I don't know. Tina and I prayed. That was a hard one. That was a hard half of our salary. But guess what? We said yes. We were willing to go to an unfamiliar place. Do you know what happened on our first board meeting with the radio station? They said, Tim, we're going to pay you your full salary that you were making and $5,000 more. And we looked at each other and we go, wow, oh, it gets better. So that, and then 1 week later, we had a special breakfast. And we went to the breakfast and they handed out the P&L. And they didn't have the money. They didn't have the money to pay us even half of our salary. So we're like going, oh my goodness, in the natural, what did we do? But can I tell you, for 4.5 years, we served as general manager at the Q99.7, and we received our full salary for that whole 4.5 years. I don't know how God did it, but he did it, all because we were willing to say yes, even when we thought it was going to be half of our salary. And then there came, I'll make this fast, but then in 2017, similar circumstances, and Pastor Bob called about one church, and then a couple weeks later called about this church, and then Danny Canton, the board chair, called about this church, both seeing if we would maybe consider putting our name in to run as one of the candidates here. And again, we said yes. We were willing to, hey, whatever God wants. We just open hands. Yes, God, if that's what you want. We let our name stand. And in September of 2017, we were voted in as pastors of your church. 2.5 years later, we're still here. Amen. So you clap because I say we're still here, but I'm clapping every day because you're still here. All right, praise God. Praise the Lord. Listen, God's wanting to take us to a new level. Why did I share all of that with you? Why did I take the time to share all that with you? Because Tina and I have practiced that in our own life. We just have been willing to say, yes, we're not perfect. We've failed. We've messed up miserably. We've done things wrong. We've done some things right. But what we have done right is we've just said, yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Half the income. Yes, God. Okay. More. Okay. Yeah, more. Whatever. You know, however it came, we just want to be in the midst of what God is wanting to do in our lives. Amen. Would you stand all over this place this morning? I can't wait. I know we're a month in, but it's only going to get better for those of us who are willing to go to the next level, who will be willing to, along with your pastor and the pastoral team and the board and others who are in leadership in the church, you're willing to say yes and take some steps of faith forward, even though it may be unfamiliar for you. God may be asking you to move. I hope not. He may be asking you to stay. I hope so. He's going to start giving some direction. And God's going to confirm direction in your life, personal direction and direction for our church. And I want to encourage us to be people of faith and to say, yes, God. And let's go on an adventure together. Let's pray for each other, encourage each other, and watch what God does in each of our lives. How many are with me today? Can I see a hand all over this place? You're ready to go to the next level of whatever God is wanting to do in our lives. I am. Praise God. I want to go. Hallelujah. We're going to say a prayer in closing this morning. It's either a prayer of rededication, or maybe you're praying this for the first time today. You came into this church and you know you need a Savior. You know you need God in your life. You know you need forgiveness of your sin. You know you need that direction, and you know that Jesus is the answer. We're going to pray this prayer together. And if you're praying it for the first time, then I want to invite you over to my left, your right, are two double doors into what we call the Liberty Room. There's a glass wall with a door that goes outside so you don't feel boxed in. But after we conclude praying this prayer, I want you to meet one of our pastors, and they've got a team that will meet you over there. We have a gift we want to give you. We want to meet you and pray with you just real briefly. It will not be long. But if you pray this prayer for the first time today and mean it in your heart, we want to meet you. For the rest of us, let it be a dedication of ourselves back to God today. Pray it out loud together. Ready? Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, paying for my sins. And God raised him from the dead victoriously. And this day, I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, and I give my life to him. in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, you can go over there now. We're going to begin to sing a song. The altars are open. If you would like to join me at the altars today, listen, we are praying for all of you. I'm excited about what God has in store this year. Listen, there may be some great challenges ahead, but in the midst of it, remember, I can't remember now if I said the first, second, or both, sir, but if at the end of the day, all we find is the peace of God in our hearts and minds, it's more than this world has, and it will get us through and to where he's wanting to take us. Amen? God bless you. Love you.